At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley. I've got Illini Guy's Director of Recruiting, Kedrick Prince, and Illini Guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens, with us. And we have a kind of a breaking story today. I think in the press conference, we heard something that if you kind of take a few data points and put them together, we may know who the starting quarterback is for the Fighting Illini when they go onto the field against Wyoming next Saturday, the 27th, and we may be able to tell you who it is here on the 15th. Matt, what did you hear, and how did you put all these, you know, how did you put it to think it's pretty clear messaging?
Yeah, I don't think I'll be auditioning for CSI anytime soon. It didn't seem like, I don't think I'm that good. Like, look, they had a second audition, a second scrimmage, and they're allowed to in the preseason. They had it on Monday. And Brett Bielema comes in, there's a group of us, like a dozen of us in local media. And he starts, you know, his opening statement, which Brett always does, which is actually kind of helpful, to be honest, for a scrimmage that we didn't get to watch, and starts talking about who played well and who had some big plays. And then, like normal, like you would think a second scrimmage was going to be, they started pulling guys like at halftime or early in the scrimmage, like it was an NFL preseason game, because, you know, you're going to need Alex Palcheski this season. And so getting him rolled up in a scrimmage isn't really the best idea. And you're going to need Isaiah Williams, and you're going to need, you know, the Brown brothers. You're probably going to need them, and you don't really need to see them hitting and thudding people all over the place, because you know how they can play football. And then he kind of goes, well, yeah, we also pulled Tommy at halftime. And I went, oh, okay. And I kept waiting to hear him. And later on, we pulled Art, you know, and it never came. And I got through the whole thing, and I didn't correct Brett, or I didn't ask a follow-up, because I didn't want him to get defensive and football coach paranoia to happen, where it's like, oh, no, yeah, we pulled Art too. Like, I mean, don't even start that. He's kind of subtly sent a message that, like, well, we pulled the quarterback that we desperately need for the, you know, start, at least the start of this 2023 season. We pulled him out about halftime, and we played everybody else. And I'm like, you just told everybody who the starting quarterback is on August 27th. Cause I mean, I've watched enough NFL preseason games. You're not pulling dudes that you really want to have start that opener. So, you know, there's 100% zero doubt in my mind that Tommy DeVito is going to take the first snap against Wyoming at 3 o'clock on Big Ten Network at Memorial Stadium in Champaign Urbana against Wyoming. So if anybody, Big Ten Network, still wants to go out there and try to make money off this quarterback competition in Champaign, more power to you. But I think the competition factor there is gone. I think Tommy DeVito is your starter. Art Sitkowski is your backup. And when they go on the road in Bloomington in week two, you know, Ryan Johnson will be the third quarterback that travels. And so I think that's your quarterback depth chart coming out of two spring scrimmages, or I'm sorry, preseason scrimmages.
Ked, what do you think of that depth chart going into this season?
I'm not surprised. I mean, I know, you know, Matt was, his ears were on the level of 10 and he picked it up. But I mean, because I know they're not going to say anything. They don't want to tip their hat. But nobody should really be surprised at this situation. I know every coach is always going to say, if you look at every coach, you know, unless there's a clear, clear guy who's just like a Heisman candidate, you know, there's always going to be a quarterback battle. DeVito didn't come to Illinois to be second string. I'm just sorry he didn't. And I'm glad Art is healthy. I'm glad I hope to see him. I want to see him throw, but I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. I mean, now no leak has been said to me, and I'm, you know, well, other than the fact this, that DeVito's good. And he's one of the best quarterbacks so far that Illinois has had in a long time, and that's not disrespecting any other quarterback. They're expecting big things out of this kid. The key is, like we talked about our last podcast, making sure guys can catch the ball. They're going to throw it a little bit. They're not going to – people think that Illinois is just going to run it, and I know, Matt, we're not thinking of the high spread, you know, score 80 points a game, but they're going to throw it because they have a guy back there that they're fully confident in that can throw the ball and make passes. And, I mean, he – from my understanding – from good sources, he can put the ball in places that top other quarterbacks can do if he can stay healthy. So I'm not surprised.
So let's keep him standing then. I'm all for that. So
yes,
the offensive line, let's keep him protected. So we talked about looking at a couple position groups last week. The next ones up are the tight ends. And I got to be honest with you, when we think Illinois tight ends, we think of WWE-bound Luke Ford, and yet again, we're in another position where, you know, he may not get the start, possibly. But what's going on in that tight end position room, and what can we expect this year? Matt, why don't you lead off for us?
Luke's not going to start. I'll tell you that right now. And it's not because Luke's been bad. One is because, as of recording this, Luke's hurt. And suffered an injury. I think he's going to be back active the game week of preparation before Wyoming. So they're expecting him back on the 21st. But Luke's hurt. And I'm sorry, but everything that we've been told in the preseason and everything we were told in the spring and everything we've been told this summer is Tip Reiman was going to start. Tip Reiman was having an awesome, awesome summer. It was why when they lost Daniel Barker, they did not go into the portal and get a tight end. They said, well, we have two. And they're not necessarily in the order that you think they are. Because I believe this staff has wanted to have an excuse to start Tip Reiman in the opener. They now have it. And I'm not sure that that young man's going to lose that position or give it up anytime soon if they want to go to, 11 personnel, which I don't know if they're going to do a whole lot. I think there's going to be a lot of two tight end sets. I'm not willing to go as far as what Ked went because I do think they're going to run the football an awful lot. And I mean, an awful lot.
But I think the two tight ends is also a way to allow that. I mean, you know, yep. Denny Green made a lot of money in the NFL by taking the fullback out and then having two big road graders who could catch and
block on either side.
I fully expect you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel, which means two tight ends, one running back, and then two wide receivers out of Illinois a lot. I really feel like that's the way this is going to work. They like what they have out of Brian Hightower and Patrick Bryant out on the outside, but and then obviously they love what they have in the slot with Isaiah. But I think 12 personnel you're going to see a whole lot.
Okay.
I'm interested to see how much this involves. How much they're going to use Luke when he comes back and he's healthy, but they are in love with Tip Reiman. And I think that they think he can be an impact player from the moment go. And he has been, and he has had an unbelievable preseason according to everybody that's been, I've talked to, and that's also a position group that's kind of been in flux because Ben Miller's obviously dealing with his colon cancer. They do not have a specific tight end position. The good news is that Barry Lunny made his bones and made his bacon before he became a coordinator as a tight ends coach. So I think there's a lot that is being put into that position by the offensive coordinator, kind of like how Ryan Walters coaches the safeties. Barry coaches the quarterbacks, but I think he's doing a lot of coaching of the tight ends too. Tyler King's doing a really, really good job as a GA too, and he'll be able to be on the field during games. He won't be able to be on a headset, but he'll be on the field. So I think that's a good thing. But no, I fully expect that this staff has wanted to feature Tip Reiman, and I think you're going to see it from the moment go, from week one on.
So Ked, you've got to, obviously, the the parents really well. What's your thoughts on this tight end competition?
Well, looking at it now, I mean, if you really think about it, and this is no knock on the tight end room, but it's not really deep to me. I mean, not a position. We were really critical, not critical, it's a bad choice of word. We were concerned about the wide receiver depth. But if you really think about it, you know, Luke Ford is the oldest tight end that they have on the roster, you know, and, you know, I've seen a couple of highlights and glimpse of them throwing the ball to Tip. And, you know, Matt obviously knows how important he's going to be to the program. That's one of the reasons, Matt, that I think that, Mike said, they're going to throw the ball a little bit because I think they do have faith and confidence in their tight ends. But I can say it to you, you know, you look at Henry Boyer, he's a freshman. Owen Anderson, they're freshmen, and there's just not a lot of depth at that position, I don't think. You know, Griffin Moore's another one. I just don't know how good they're going to be, but I think, you know, if Tip is good as they said, if they can get Luke healthy, because Luke's been, he's been around, but I think for them to utilize tight end, and I think in Bielema's offense, if you guys think about it, you know, I don't want to keep talking about Wisconsin all the time, but he used it just like Iowa does, and just like Wisconsin does now. I think it's a crucial, crucial position, guys. I just think it's really young. And maybe, Matt, I don't want to say maybe, obviously you are correct, because that's probably why they didn't go to the transfer portal to get anyone else, because they really thought Tip was good enough to take that position and to be a good person or another tight end with Luke Ford. So I would hate to have somebody get injured, because I just think, you know, in that room, the tight end room, I just don't know, there's a lot of experience there. And I think that could be huge if they're not receivers aren't catching the ball, because I know tight ends, those are easy dump passes right over the middle. So I think it's a position that really needs to be looked at and not taken for granted, to tell you the truth.
Well, and I do think, again, I'm one who, you know, Luke Ford certainly tantalizes you with his physical abilities. And I would love to see the tight ends utilized. And again, I go back, and this is where being an old fan, I lived up in Minneapolis during the Denny Green era, and that offense was amazing to watch. You know, and sometimes Jake Reed was a wide receiver / H-back, you know, not a pure tight end, but they had some talent out there, and they were able, you know, again, as Mike Leach says, it doesn't matter how you get the, you know, how you get the ball out on the angles, but you got to get the ball out there to make the defense cover the whole field. And so, you know, maybe Illinois gets it out to some bigger guys who may not be as fast as the Ohio State wide receivers, but use what you got.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the guys that I think Ked kind of mentioned, but I think he's going to make a big impact, is Henry Boyer. Brett said it during media day. He's one of the two freshmen that he thinks is going to play and play a lot. I had the pleasure of watching Henry play over at Marist when they won the league title that night. I have no earthly idea where this came to be, that he was going to blow up to be an offensive tackle. That was never in the plans whatsoever when they were recruiting him. I don't know where this rumor got started. All I know is that Brother Rice split him out wide at 250, 255 pounds. He's now up to 265 at Illinois. And he has athletic ability. He looks like a basketball player out there at 265 catching passes. Can he physically withstand what they want him to do? Yeah, probably as the third tight end. I think so. I think they have an interesting H-back possibility with Michael Marques, the converted linebacker. I think when Brett wants to go with that H-back, kind of a fullback kind of look, when they're not in 12 personnel, when they want to go to, like, you know, 22 or 21 personnel kind of deal, where they have two backs back there. Marques can line up as a tight end too. I mean, he's a guy that they can use in the run game. Again, they're going to run it a whole hell of a lot because it's the best position group that they have. And they are, I think that they have some really good athletes at tight end, Henry Boyer being one. Cargill is another one where he just kind of slipped into this recruiting class as a, what they thought was going to be a blue shirt. Then they changed the rule to the 85, and they could get him in now as a full-time, you know, player in 2022, which they weren't entirely sure they were going to do. He's had a great preseason and is a hell of an athlete, coming out of Florida. you're talking about somebody that's 6'4", 230 from Palm Beach Gardens that can absolutely go up and get it. I don't know how much of an impact he's going to have, but, you know, they've got some real youth in that room. You wish Ben could be there to kind of help mold that. But Tyler King's doing a really good job. They've also got an analyst named Courtney Messingham who comes over from Bill Snyder's Kansas State staff. Brad knows him very, very well. Has a impact on what tight ends ought to look like in that type of an offense. So on a non-practice, out there coaching, non-day game coaching area, he provides a lot of expertise. Somebody I'm kind of looking to do a story on, because that's a big time analyst hire for Illinois in a 1 year situation. And so I think there's a lot of possibilities with that youth. But you're right, Mike, Luke needs to have a big year. Luke needs to have a big year for Luke. Luke needs to have a big year for Illinois, because we've been talking about Luke Ford for going on now 4 years in Champaign, and it hasn't resulted in a whole lot. And I think Luke would be the first one to tell you that. Luke did tell us that when he made the announcement to come back. When he's fully healthy, and again, I fully expect him to be healthy by the opener against Wyoming, it will be a very formidable two tight end set. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of experience depth behind them, probably except for Marquise, which, again, if they're going to run it as many times as I think they're going to run it, they're going to have him probably out on the field a whole lot. But I don't think I think Ked's right. They need to stay healthy with those top two guys, but there are a couple of guys deep down in that rotation who are freshmen or redshirt freshmen that I think could surprise.
Good, good. Ked, any other tight end comments?
No. I kind of agree with Matt. You know, I just think, you know, from a depth standpoint, we have been. If you go back and you look at the whole Luke Ford situation, when Illinois got him as a tight end from Georgia, not just, you know, the local media, but that was a big get for Illinois. It's his time now. I mean, he, you know, if people could ever see this guy in person, he's a chiseled man, and I like to see him just be one of the top tight ends in the conference. It's time. And is he good enough to do it? I don't know. That remains to be seen, because he hasn't done it consistent enough. But I'm also the same guy that also say he didn't have a lot of help last year getting the ball thrown to him, because he was catching it from the sky to the bottom of the earth. So I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe that's going to be a part of it this year. Maybe that'll help him out.
Well, and Luke has to go with also the all the, you know, what's going to happen now that the guy who signed his contract, Vince McMahon, is no longer there. Does he get along with Triple H? But that'll be something he can do after he gets done with his eligibility at University of Illinois. So let's tip it over to the linebackers, because Illinois has got a lot of guys, you know, this linebacker position, and this defense has very high expectations for the first time in quite some time. So how good are the linebackers, Matt, and who do you think who's going to start this year?
Inside, they're as good as anybody, I think, in the conference. And I mean, I'm not understating that. I think both Calvin Hart and Barnes could be drafted. I think there's a possibility there that an inside backer, they're as good as anybody in the league. And it's unfortunate that CJ got hurt right after the opener against Nebraska last year, because I think he was primed to have a big year, and then yep, blows his knee out in that game, and just, it just never worked out for him. But he and Tyreek Barnes are roommates. It makes sense. They're going to start. I think they're going to have a really good year. The surprise of that room that's coached by Andy Boo in the inside room is Isaac Darkangelo, who by all accounts, if he's telling me the truth, is a walk-on again. Transfer from Division II Northern Michigan. He's going to play, folks, and I think he's going to be really good. They expect that they have three inside linebackers that they can trust right now in a game and physically are able to play, and I think that's huge. When you lose Jake Hansen, you've got a guy in Tyreek Barnes who basically just followed Jake throughout his entire career and understands what's supposed to go on here. Got a guy in CJ Hart who was personally recommended to Brett Bielema by Dave Dorian. And it was not bad blood. He's just got buried behind a first team All-American at NC State. Dave Dorian says, look, this kid really wants to play. Brett, I'm going to send him to you because I think he can really do some really good things. And anybody will tell you, Dave Dorian's one of the best guys in the business. So that was a good situation for everybody involved. But then Isaac Darkangelo has come out of nowhere, and I think he's going to make an impact. So from an inside backer standpoint, first of all, you've got a former defensive coordinator in Andy Boo, who's done this for almost 30 years at the Power Five level. That was an unbelievable hire when Brett made it. And I think that they're getting coached up because you've got guys like Keanu Odelia. You've got guys like Malachi Hood, who I think are going to make impact players later on. But they get to sit back and they get to learn and they get to watch. And I think that's going to be so key and critical for them. Guys like James Kreutz, who get to sit back and watch. Those are guys that are depth pieces for your future, but they've got three guys in a 3-4 defense where you need two inside backers. They've got three that they feel like they could play right now and be as good as anybody in the league. And I think that's key. The questions are always on the outside, and that's Kevin Kane's group. Who's going to stand up in that 2-point stance? Who's going to go get the quarterback? Well, we saw that answered get last year with Seth Coleman, because when he had about a 3-week stretch there, including, you know, I think the UTSA game, clearly the Maryland game, and then I think the Purdue game, where he had it on par with anybody in the league in that 3-game stretch. Then he gets hurt before the Wisconsin game. He never got that job back. One, because Isaiah Gabe started playing as well as he was capable of playing, and the coaches expected him to play as a fifth-year senior. And two, Seth never got recovered from that injury. They're expecting big things out of him this year. He's the one guy on that outside backer that they have major expectations for. And I think he could answer the bell on that one. The other one's kind of up in the air, because you think Ezekiel Holmes is going to take it. And I do think he's probably going to start the first defensive snap against Wyoming. But there's a host of other guys that are behind him that are itching to get playing time. One of which is Gabe Yakus, who's a true freshman, who Illinois stole in this 2022 class from Tennessee, basically. And I think he's going to be an impact player later on in life, but I think he could make an impact as a true freshman. I really, really do. The other one, is Alec Bryant. And you talk about somebody who comes off the bus looking the part. Alec Bryant comes off the bus looking the part. Yep. And it's the major reason why they got him from Virginia Tech after he only played one game with the Hokies and Bud Foster's defense before he retired. Was he physically is a just an unbelievable weight room guy that you could – now, does that translate to the football field? From what I've seen in preseason, yes, it does, but it's still got to translate in games, and which he could not play because of the transfer rules last year. That gives them added pieces and added depth. I don't know who's going to emerge beyond Seth Coleman on that outside for Kevin Kane, but if it's one of those three guys, then they've got something then, and then that five-man front that Ryan Walters can work with.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. Ked, what are your thoughts on the linebacking position?
Well, I'll be real brief with this position, but I do have a question, I guess, or a concern. I mean, I will, again, the one guy I like, and I can't wait to see the play, I'm a big fan of, is you're right, Tariq Barnes. I like him, big specimen. I think he's good. But here's, you know, again, I don't want to rehash all those names, but I guess the one name, the elephant in the room, is Shamon Cooper again. And that's tough because to me, I mean, he was off and then heard he had a good spring and he is just a mystery man. And I cannot figure out, I don't understand it. And maybe he may be one of those guys, I don't know, I'm not being negative, that had all the high school billings in the world that just never panned out. But if you really take a step back and look at it, and we thought he was making strides in the spring, Matt went through a list of players and his name never came up. And that's not a bad thing. I'm saying this because it's hard for me to gather or fathom how a kid that talented in high school, and this, what has he been, he's a junior, or no, sophomore, and with COVID, and still can't see the field. I know he's gotten bigger. I'm baffled by that. So to me, he's the one guy, I guess, when you talk about the linebacker room, that I'm still just kind of puzzled by, if that makes any sense.
Matt, any thoughts on that?
He's 220 pounds and he's not physically capable of playing the outside backer position that Kevin Kane needs him to play. And the fact of the matter is that every time that Kevin Kane's asked about him, Kevin basically says that Shimon is it's never that Shimon's not coachable. It's never that he's a bad kid. It's never that he's not paying attention in meetings. It's never that he's not doing what he's asked to be doing. They have moved him from inside backer now to outside backer.
Yep.
In order to play that position, you have to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 to 265 pounds. Shimon Cooper is 220. So my guess is that this is a transitional year again for Shimon, in which he's got to get his body to a point in which he can be competitive at one of those outside backer positions. And I think they knew it going in. I think they knew it when they were recruiting guys like Gabe Yakus, when they were, you know, bringing in an Alec Bryant, when they knew Seth Coleman was going to take a major leap. This is a transitional year for Shimon Cooper. And I think they have big expectations for him as an upperclassman once he reaches his junior year. But this is a fall, and quite frankly, a summer in which Shimon has had to work with Tank to get his body to a point where he is very, very competitive. He could make an impact on special teams, but I don't see him making his way up the depth chart in Kevin Kane's room, simply because there's too many guys that are just physically at a level that Shimon's just not at right now.
Yeah.
So does he have the speed necessary to make a conversion over to safety? It's 220. No. I mean, that's not
no.
a
– No, okay. no. And I wasn't sure – quite frankly, I wasn't real sure about this transformation to outside backer, to be quite frank with you. But he was buried so deep behind so many people at inside backer. This seems like the last ditch effort. And in order to make this last ditch effort work, now you got to take a whole year and transform, you know, who you are. And you know, I'll give you the perfect example I can give you is Seth Coleman, a guy that comes in here at 225, 230 pounds. And Kevin Kane looks at him and says, I think athletically you're exactly what I'm looking for, but there's no way I can play you right now. And it took an entire freshman year for Seth Coleman to get to 250 pounds for Kevin Kane to even feel comfortable putting him in a game. And once he did, he made an impact. So I just think there's a whole bunch of people that are in front of Shimon Cooper as he makes this transition to inside backer. And I think it's a long-term play now for Shimon. But there's quality depth in front of him, and he's going to have to keep working with Tank and keep working in that weight room. And B, I think he's going to have to, when he's called upon, whether that's because of injury or because guys aren't producing, because we haven't seen Alec Bryant play and we haven't seen Gabe Yakus play. If Kevin Kane can get further down in that depth chart, Shimon's going to be asked to do something, and then he needs to perform. And so that's the way that's kind of cut right now. But I don't think anybody in that room thinks that Shimon Cooper is a bad football player. They just know that it's okay. Now we're into another, you know, I guess, you know, creative. We're trying to be real inventive and creative with Shimon to try to get him on the field somehow, some way when he's an upperclassman.
You know, and that's what I was going to say, because as good as, you know, I know they're different people and it's apples and oranges, and I don't want anybody to call me out on that. But like Isaiah came in as a quarterback, and now he's a receiver. I just think he's such a good athlete, good enough to where they could be able to find a spot for him on the field. But I want to touch on this weight situation. I remember when Lovie Smith was there. I don't remember what press conference it was, but he made the comment that Shimon, it's hard for him to put on weight and to keep it on. I mean, it really is. So I don't know if you remember that, Matt, but I remember that comment being made, because I know that was a concern for them to put weight on him, and I know he was trying. So I don't know. I mean, he's 220. If they're being honest with their weight, how much more weight he could actually put on, because he's 20, 21 years old. I mean, I'm sure there's room for growth, but that was a concern that Coach Smith had mentioned before.
Yeah, I had Lovie Smith tell me that, I mean, literally, Matt, because I would do the chart every year about how guys went up and down in weight. And he would always, you know, waggle his finger at me and go, Matt, weight is the most overrated thing in football. And he's not wrong. Lovie's not wrong. But here's the deal. There's a lot of things. Like, Shimon wasn't ready to play early on, no matter where they put him out there. Let's just be real about it. He was not prepared to play big time college football. That's okay. He wasn't discouraged by that. He knew this was a process. And then you got a new staff coming in, and they just didn't see him as an inside backer. They just didn't. And so now we got to find a place to put Shimon so we can see if he can succeed. And now, you know, it's an experiment that they're trying at outside backer. And if this doesn't work, it's just not going to work for him. But I will say that I think this staff understands that, one, Shimon's a good kid. Two, he's very committed to this new transformation and this new outside backer experiment that they're trying with him. And three, quite frankly, if Shimon Cooper wanted to leave Illinois because he wasn't getting enough playing time, he would have left by now. So exactly. I think there's a lot to be said for somebody to go through this process and potentially by the time they're an upperclassman, be ready to play. Because the idea, guys, is that CJ Hart's going to try the NFL after this year. And I'm not entirely sure that Tyreek Barnes won't try it too. If he gets enough looks at, and I mean, I think NFL people think he's a better prospect than Jake Hansen by far. So you're always going to have turnover in that room. And so you're always going to have turnover with whether it's Seth Coleman or Alec Bryant or whoever the heck it is. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't foresee him being anything other than an impact player on special teams, which is something athletically he can do.
Yeah. Well, it like I said, you the good thing is you really you like to see a kid who's, you know, keeping it positive and trying to earn his way up the ladder. And you know, you know, Big Ten athletics is tough. People really don't understand the athleticism of a guy who doesn't play in the Big Ten is pretty darn incredible. You know, the guys who maybe aren't able to make it to starters.
Yeah, going back to the outside linebacker room, Mike, the key is, for me at least, and I might be dead wrong because Alec Bryant might be a stud. Once he actually, the game comes on, the light bulb turns on. Seth Coleman has to be good. This is his time. You're looking for Seth Coleman to be an all Big Ten player, all Big Ten honorable mention player. And if that's the case, because that's what Owen Carney did, at the very, very least, it's what Isaiah Gay did, quite frankly, even after being benched. So you need Seth Coleman to be good. If Seth Coleman's really, really good, then you can worry about who else is going to supplement him on that other side. Just as well. But if he can somehow summon that three game stretch that he had last year when they benched Isaiah Gay and put him in there before he had the injury before the homecoming game against Wisconsin, I think he can be an all Big Ten player. And that's exactly what Ryan Walters and Kevin Kane need him to be.
Yep. So, you know, we see here, we've got a couple of groups that have a lot of talent. Now we'll have to see, you know, once the lights go on, will the talent be as bright as what we think it is? But certainly the defense is shaping up to be formidable, which will be more incumbent then on that offense to be able to find a way to get the first downs and keep drives alive that they weren't last year. If they can do that, it could be a pretty good season. But you know, there's not a lot of speed on the outside, and we'll talk about that in our next show. We get, you know, we'll be talking a little more about the Illini as we keep moving forward, kind of going through the position groups. And of course, if you go to IlliniGuys.com, Matt will be doing previews over the next couple weeks that will talk, get you all ready for the game come Saturday, the 27th. And of course, if you are in town the night of the 26th, we will be having an Illini Guys event at Guido's, 7 to 11. Going to do a little bit of fundraising for the Illini Guardians and NIL. So that'll be exciting. Make sure you come out and see us there. And of course, you can hear both Ked and Matt on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We talk all things Illini. Much to the relief of people across the state of Illinois and surrounding states, we don't really talk about what LeBron thinks about things, nor do we talk about the Yankees against the Red Sox or the Knicks against the Nets. You know, we try to make it about stuff you care about, which is sports in Illinois. So listen to us. It's on 31 signals on 21 stations across the state. And we are very excited when we've just gotten another station, WGEM, in Quincy. So that's exciting. Welcome onto the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular Network. And you can go to our IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and find all the stations and what day and what time we're on. And of course, we have other podcasts. Ked has his Ked's Recruiting Roundup. You can listen to him, talk to people. Austin Hutcherson was talking to him just the other day. Fascinating conversation with a guy who may go down as one of the biggest, we should have been able to see him excel, and the physical toll of playing college basketball just didn't allow that to happen. Again, we're wishing nothing but the best for him in the pro ranks. And of course, IlliniGuys.com is where you can go and listen, or go and read all the stuff that's going on, including those message boards. You got to join, go back into the message boards on the basketball and the football board. And there you can read about all the rumors, the things that, you know, we hear about that nobody wants to put their name on, that we can talk in that area, as opposed to a news story that's got to have somebody who says, yes, you got this from me. So it's a lot of fun, $99 a year, and be looking. We have a back-to-school special that'll be out in the next week or so, and you can get a little bit of gear to go with your subscription. So that's pretty cool as well. With that, we will talk to you guys later in the week. Go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back-to-school savings are officially in session at Tanger Outlets. Shop tax-free July 30th through August 8th and save up to 70% off the latest school styles. The best of apparel, footwear, accessories, and more. Save at Nike Factory Store, American Eagle, Gap Outlet, Crocs, Under Armour, Banana Republic Factory, and hundreds more. There's always something happening. Discover the latest fun and events all season long. Tanger Outlets, your savings destination.